This gospel is one of these that's hard for priests to preach because, of course, our Lord describes what he's talking about in the parables. It's one of the few places where our Lord actually explicitly says, this is what the parable means. You know, so it's hard for priests to preach. And there's a story of a priest somewhere. Of course, you know, the story always changes where this priest is located, who this priest was. But he gets up at Mass and he proclaims this gospel. And as soon as everybody sits down, he looks at the book, he thinks for a second and says, you know, I can't say this any better than our Lord did. And he goes and sits down. You're not so lucky. It's important for us to listen to the Word of God. And it is important for us to understand the Word of God. That's what the homily is for. It is the opportunity for the priest to take the Word of God and explain it. That's why it's so important and why the Second Vatican Council and the documents following encouraged the priest to give homilies at every Mass, not just the big Sunday Masses, not just the big celebrations, but even the little daily Masses where we have three people here, including the priest. Because the homily is the opportunity to go deeper into the Scriptures. Now that puts kind of an imperative on me as a priest, of course, to prepare my homilies well so that I understand the Scriptures to then proclaim them. Not all priests do that. Very early on in the papacy of Pope Francis, he wrote a document in which he encouraged priests to do well in writing their homilies. And he wrote that priests need to do this because sometimes the priest does it badly. And to paraphrase, basically, the priest suffers for giving the homily and the people suffer for listening to it. And that's so true. We've all heard homilies where we walk away going, did Father have a point in that? You probably said that about mine for all I know. But it's important that we understand what the Scriptures say. Because, of course, the Scriptures are the Word of God. And if we truly seek to be open to the Scriptures, they're attractive. They're beautiful. They're powerful. They're life-changing. Look at the crowds that gathered to hear our Lord. It says in this gospel that there were so many there by the seashore, he actually had to go out onto a boat. He actually had to go out a little ways so people could hear him. I'm sure those of you who fish or who've gone out on lakes, you realize that sound travels very well across water. Extremely well. So our Lord set out just a little ways, not because he was worried about people pressing in on him, but so that people could hear him. That sound would travel over the water. His voice would travel over the water because, of course, he didn't have modern amplification systems. He didn't have microphones and speakers and amplifiers and all these goodies that we have now. It was his voice. That's all he had. But he could use the water to project it. But the Word of God didn't stop losing its power when our Lord spoke it. It continues to have power to this day. We see so many times within the history of the church, the 2,000 years that the church has existed, of people converting en masse, mass conversions, large numbers of people coming to Christ because of the Word of God. They weren't forced to become Christians. Sadly, that has happened in our history as well, and that didn't turn out well for us. But they were encouraged and moved by the power of the Word of God. The Word of God can move us. It can change our life because it is fruitful. Look at this first reading. Look at how fruitful Isaiah describes the Word of God. Now, especially this year where we've not had a lot of moisture, we know how fruitful rain can be and how unfruitful the lack of rain can be. But look at what Isaiah says, that the rain and the snow make the earth fertile and fruitful. And then he says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. And of course, what is the end of the word of God? Salvation, freedom from sin, eternal life. This is what St. Paul tells us in the second reading. Creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's why we have the Word of God. That's why we have the Scriptures, is for our salvation. Not to win arguments, not to prove our points, not to say what we want it to say, but to bring us to salvation and bring others as well, to produce that harvest 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The question for us is, are we open? Are we open to the Word of God? Are we open to what Jesus is saying to us in the Scriptures? Are we open to that salvation that is proclaimed in the Scriptures? You know, there were many in Jesus' time that were not open to what he had to say. Just read through the Gospels. You got the scribes, the Pharisees, the Roman officials, and so on. There are many today, even those who call themselves Christians, who are not open. We've heard the gospel. The gospel has been proclaimed throughout the world. But you know, there's many of us, we've never listened. We've heard it. It's gone in our ear, but it's come right back out. We've not listened. We've not been open to the Scriptures. And that's where we get to the parable today, where he says that they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. This is the seed cast out on the path. It's fruitless. It produces nothing. It gets eaten. It goes nowhere. The challenge for us is to not be like that fruit, that seed on the path, but instead to be open, to receive the Word of God in our hearts, and to allow it to nurture us, to allow it to grow within us, you know. But being open isn't enough, because of course the parable goes on. He says there are three other responses that we can have. There are three other ways that we can hear the Word of God, that we can take it into us, and that it can actually start to sprout. But of course, one of them is very shallow, that we respond in a very shallow way. Oh, we might hear something in the gospel and it might get us fired up. We might get excited. And then something happens and we just fall away. We walk away. Maybe we get upset because of something going on in the church. Maybe someone says or does something that we don't like or that hurt us, even worse. Maybe there's persecution from outside. Oh, someone's going to be upset if they find out I go to the Catholic Church. Well, I don't want them to know. And it dies out. The Word of God dies out in our lives. We see this so often with some of these well-known preachers, especially the televangelists. You know, you hear some of these preachers who they catch fire and they're excited and people are following them and sending them lots of money and they've got the house and the car and the jet. And then they get caught in a scandal and they disappear overnight. The fire goes out immediately. Maybe we respond. The Scripture takes root in our souls. It starts to get a response. But then the way of the world kind of chokes it out. You know, the weeds of the world. The things of the world seem more attractive and interesting and fun and exciting and popular than the Word of God. And so that Word of God would start to sprout in us. We see this a lot with kids. We see this a lot with kids, where they hear the gospel, they hear the message, they, you know, see First Communion, and they're excited. And then they become a teenager, and that excitement goes away, because you got to have the things of the world. We got to do the things the way the world says we got to do them. We got, you know, we can't be seen doing something as ridiculous as actually believing in God and following him, can we? That's what happens time and time and time and time and time again. And of course, we pray for those that that's happened to, that one day that fire gets restoked. It comes back to life. That word of God has come. You know, so many, I've seen so many kids who, when they're young, they want to be a priest, they want to be a religious sister, they want to be involved, but as they grow older, that goes away. And of course, that's a challenge for us as Christians, is that we need to encourage them at that age, so that when they do become teenagers, it continues, that call continues, that desire to follow the word of God continues, that the things of the world don't choke them out, but that they have that openness throughout their entire lives. And of course, there's the third response, to be that rich soil. To be so open to the word of God that it takes root and it produces fruit in our lives. That it, just like the wheat fields around here, that it takes root and it grows and it's nurtured and it produces a great crop. And of course, that fruit is not literal wheat. It's the spread of the word of God. It's the spread of the gospel throughout the world. It's the message of Christ being proclaimed here in our community. So how do we become that rich soil? Well, again, we need to be open to the word of God. And a big part of that is to actually be in the word of God. To actually be reading the scriptures and to be studying them. And this is something that all of us need to do, including myself. Of course, at seminary, I studied the word of God, but that was not the last word, not by a long shot. Just last week, I had the opportunity to go to a priest conference and retreat. That was on the Bible. It was sponsored by Scott Hahn's St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. Of course, we've heard Scott Hahn. We've heard his talks. You know how great of a speaker he is. We had two other excellent speakers as well. The depth of knowledge that they have for the scriptures is incredible, because you can go so deep in the scriptures. And myself and about 200 other priests spent the week in the scriptures, studying them, learning about them, going deeper into them. We all need to do this. So that's the first step of being open to be that rich soil. Secondly, we got to recognize that the word of God needs to be more important to us than the things of the world. That the scriptures, God speaking through the scriptures and the traditions of the church, we must not forget that that is also the word of God, are more important in living our lives than what the world thinks, what the world says, what we desire and what the world says. And then third of all, we need to persevere in allowing the word of God to guide us and lead us, even when it might lead to difficulties. There will be things in the word of God, in the scriptures, in the tradition of the church, that will challenge us, that will push us, that will cause us to think twice. We still need to follow them. If we do that, if we do those three things, be in the scriptures, studying them, following the scriptures, despite what the world says, and allowing the word of God to continue to lead us even when persecution, difficulties come, we will have that harvest of grace. We will produce that fruit of the gospel message being proclaimed 100 or 60 or 30-fold.